Well, let's pray as we get ready to look to Scripture tonight. Father, I pray that our hearts would just be set on fire by the Word of the Lord. And Lord, that it would just burn inside of us, that it not be just a dead word, but as it is a living, a powerful word. And Lord, that it'll get down inside of us and burn in us, Lord, until it brings forth much fruit in our lives and that you are glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. But tonight I want to share a simple message with you. Good news for all. Good news for all. You know, the angels declared the arrival of the Lord Jesus to lowly shepherds out in the field. They didn't go to downtown Jerusalem and make a big deal. They could have. Can you imagine the fanfare that the angels could have put on? Can you imagine all of the great show they could have put together in ushering in the baby king? But they didn't, because he came as a servant king in humble means. And how precious that story is to us at this time of year, especially as we celebrate the birth of our Lord. And the message I have to share with you tonight, well, it's kind of a Christmas message, I have to tell you. I may not preach another one this year, so get it while it's good, right? No, but there's a reason I really believe the Lord gave me this message for tonight, and that is that this good news is not just for us, but it's for all. It's for everybody. And I want to encourage you tonight that you have a message to tell. Well, we're going to read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, and we're just going to start in verse 8, read through 20. And I'm reading from the New International Version tonight. It just reads real simple and everyday language. And I just want to tell you and just share with you, just so y'all can know, when you first get to know somebody, a lot of times you don't tell them the weird things about yourself. Right? Well, there's some weird things about me that y'all don't know, and I've hidden from y'all, for some of you for 8 years or so, some of you for 20, 30 years. But in my family, at our household, we're kind of weird at Christmas time. Is this adults only in here? Okay. Now, please don't take this that I'm teaching this is for you. I'm just relating a personal thing, what we do, so you can see how weird we are. And please don't think that I'm judgmental of anybody else. I'm not. I absolutely am not. Okay? This is just a personal thing for my family. But we were really mean to our children. We never taught them about Santa Claus. Well, actually, we did, but we taught them the real story about Santa Claus. And at Christmas, we didn't ever tell them that Santa Claus brings them gifts. We wanted credit for that, right? No, but we're really weird. And so if you wonder why my kids are weird, we weirded them up, We just kind of, but anyway, but what we do on every Christmas, in fact, we still do this on Christmas Eve, and we get this passage of Scripture, and we sit down, and we read this passage of Scripture together, and we have prayer before we have presents. And it's kind of weird. I know y'all are thinking, man, he is weird. But anyway, so now you know. See, you've known me all this time, and you didn't know how weird I was. But I just want you to understand, this story is so precious to all of us as God's people. How that he came into the world. And, we talk about how the world commercializes Christmas and how that, it's being skewed and becoming something that, that it wasn't really meant to be. And yet sometimes for us Christians, is it just an old story, or is it still something that burns in our heart? And that's my prayer tonight. I prayed that this will be something that is exciting to us, and that's a fire inside of us, that the Savior came into the world. So we're going to start there in verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Listen, the angel said, "We bring you good news of great joy." It's for everybody. Good news of great joy. The Savior has been born. The Savior has come into the world. And I want to declare tonight to you good news of great joy, that it's for everybody. The Savior has come. You know, when we talk about the Savior or being saved, I always like to clarify, because, you know, I think that's kind of, it's well, you know, most of us that have been in church for a while, we know what we're talking about. But, you know, a lot of times when you talk about being saved, I think people are just thinking, saved from what? And why do we need a Savior? And so I just want to be clear about it. We ourselves need to be clear in our own heart and mind why we need a Savior. Well, first, He saves us from our sins. Amen. He came to save us from our sins. Guess what? We all have them. And deep down in our heart, everybody knows they have them. Now, I met one man one time. He wasn't an atheist. In fact, he was a supposedly spirit-filled man. And he told me straight up, he said, "I don't sin." I was like, "Well, let me touch the hem of your garment. Aren't you something?" Because all the rest of us, we all still make mistakes. And I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who saves us from our sins, who not only forgives us of our sins, but He does deliver from sin. He does set us free from sin. Listen, there's so many people in this world that are bound up. You know, do you know that's the work of the devil? He wants to bind people up, keep people in bondage all the time. You know, and when Jesus was tempted, remember this. Now, listen, it's your own desires that draw you away. That's what the Bible says. But when Jesus was tempted, you know, Satan set him up. And you realize that Satan will try to set you up. He'll try to get you in bondage. He'll try to keep you in bondage. Realize who it is that's trying to keep you in bondage. But Jesus is the Savior who came to set us free. You know what? There's no better news that you can tell somebody that's bound up than that there's somebody who can set you free. That's really good news. Amen? Here's some great news. If you've sinned, there's forgiveness. And if you're bound, there's freedom. He can set you free. Here's some good news. The Bible says that by His wounds, the stripes, the wounds on His back, we were healed. Listen, that's good news when you're sick. He came to save us from hopelessness. You know, the hopeless, they're like the walking dead. They just, you know, they exist, but not really enjoying life. But Jesus brings hope to the most hopeless situation. Amen. Doesn't matter what you're facing, with Jesus, there's hope. And Jesus Christ, when He came into this world, He brought hope to us. He came to save us from turmoil, from worry, from fear, from anxiety. He's the Prince of Peace. And when He came, He brought peace. The angels said it. They said, peace on earth. But I want you to realize now, that doesn't mean that on earth we're always going to have peace on the outside and absence of conflict, but it means that for the child of God, there's a peace on the inside. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." It's not like the world's peace, but it's a lasting peace. It's a peace that can't be taken away by circumstance. And I'm telling you, there's such a need for peace in our world. So many people, if there was a way that they could get real peace in their life, that's the best news you could tell a lot of people. In fact, Billy Graham, he knows a little bit about reaching people, and he said the greatest need of man is peace. I tell you, people need peace. And here's good news. Jesus came to give them peace. He came to save us from a dead religion. Lots of dead religion out there. And in this country, most of it has the name Christian stuck on it. A lot of dead religion. But He came to bring us into something that's real, something that's life-changing. If any man be in Christ, behold, old things are passed away, all things are become new. I'm telling you, here's good news. There is something that's real. You can have a real relationship with God, and it's life-changing. Here's some good news. Well, y'all might not be too excited about it, but I'm telling you, here's some good news for a lot of people out there. Remember, I said it's for all. Here's some good news. You can have a real relationship with God and know Him personally. He cares for you. He loves you. He came to save us from loneliness. Do you know there's a lot of lonely people? In fact, it's the worst in crowded metropolitan areas. It's so weird. You have people all around you, but be lonely. And there's a whole lot of lonely people in our culture. Here's good news, that Jesus has accepted them into His family. Jesus loves them and wants to have a relationship with them, wants to be close to them, that they're never alone again, that He will never leave them nor forsake them. That's good news that people need to hear, people need to know. Listen, He came to save us from sadness and sorrow. This is good news of great joy. There's a God who cares about you and loves you so much that He came to earth in the form of a human body just to reach you, just to save you. That's how much He loves you. Came to save us from an empty way of life. Give us abundant life. A life overflowing. You know, I could go on and on, but I'm just going to sum it up like this. This is the way I like to sum up what the Savior came to save us from. He came to save us from the sinful human condition and all that it holds. And He came to bring us into a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father and all that that holds. What a deal. I'm telling you, you look at what He saved us from and what He brought us into. That's good news of great joy. You know, in our country, it seems that a lot of people have kind of lost the Christmas message. And little children, oh, here I go. Now I got myself in a mess. See, I shared my little personal story. Now you're going to think let me just say, I'm feeling really weird right now that I told you that story. And I know y'all think I'm weird now and it's bothering me, but I'll get past it. But listen, you know, sometimes you know this, though, that we sometimes in our culture, it's become so much about this commercialized Christmas, and the focus, even with, you know, a lot of times with our children, becomes on the toys and the presents and Santa Claus. And by the way, here's the little manger scene over here. And we just kind of miss what it's really all about. And I'm not talking about, listen to me, I'm not talking about atheists. I'm not talking about just backslidden Christians, but sometimes it's us, church, that we don't really keep the focus on what's important. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's so much more than just all this stuff and the trappings, but it's about one who came to bring us abundant life and joy and peace. Listen, gifts that satisfy the soul, gifts that bring eternal blessings in our life, things that money can't buy. You know, you can have all the stuff. And I remember as a kid getting a lot of stuff on Christmas, and the next day or a few hours later, just having a kind of a letdown, because stuff doesn't do it. Doesn't do it for an 8-year-old, and it doesn't do it for a 38-year-old or a 58-year-old. Stuff doesn't do it. But what Jesus brings into our heart truly satisfies. But I'm telling you, we got to hold on to the things that are real, and we got to really be the ones who keep Christ in Christmas. We say Merry Christmas, amen. Now, when somebody says Happy Holidays to you, don't say Merry Christmas. You're not going to win anybody by your anger. I know that it appalls us and it makes us mad that this world wants to take Jesus out of Christmas. But you know how we're going to convince them that Jesus is real? It's by showing them. It's by Jesus in us. It's the love of God in us. It's not our anger. In fact, that makes us a religious Pharisee. And that's exactly what we look like to the world. Just an angry religious Pharisee. It's the love of God. It's Jesus Christ in us that wins people and changes people. And I just want to encourage you that we need to be the ones that keep Christ in Christmas. But do it in a spirit of love, and do it by example, not by anger. It's good news, church. He came to save us from our sins. Sin destroys lives. It hurts people. And ultimately, it'll destroy your own life. But I'm telling you, it's good news when we realize that Jesus came to save us, to deliver us out. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. That means you are fulfilled. That means that you are satisfied. That means that you have the blessings of God on every part of your life. And that's why Jesus came, is so that you could be blessed, so you could be saved from your sins, so you could be brought in to all that the Heavenly Father has for you. He came to seek and to save those who were lost, to bring them home, to bring them into a relationship with God. I'm talking about the good news that's for all. It's for you and me, but it's also for those people that we encounter in this world. We got good news we need to be sharing with them. The shepherds that heard the news from the angels were so excited, they couldn't wait to go and see what the angel had told them about. And then they couldn't wait to tell people about the things that had happened. That's the way it ought to be, church, that we just can't wait to tell people about the things that have happened, the things that God has done in our life. Verse 17 said that they spread the word. They just went out telling everybody about all the things that they had seen and experienced. They had to tell. Listen, we've got good news to tell. We have tasted of His goodness, enjoyed His favor and blessings. Verse 20 says, they went out praising and glorifying God. Now, we ought to be praising and glorifying God all the time. Every day we should praise and glorify God. The psalmist said, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We should be praising God, glorifying Him all. But how much we should do that when we've been at church? Amen. We ought to go out praising God, glorifying God. Y'all quiet tonight. Well, maybe it'll get better. You pray for me. Why don't we have that kind of excitement today? Seems like too often the good news has become the old news. Oh, we need to keep it fresh. I'm telling you, listen, when's the last time God did something for you? I hope it wasn't 30 years ago. Listen, I'm so glad that he saved my soul over 30 years ago. But listen, I don't have to go back to then. I tell you, God has been so good to me. We need to be talking about all the good things that God does, telling people the good news. You know, we it might be old news to us, but we just need to realize that to somebody else, it's brand new. It's good news to hear some of the things that we take for granted, that we know. We've known a long time, but a lot of people out there, out in this world, don't know. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. He proclaimed the good news and he said, believe the good news. Do you believe the good news? There may be somebody here that needs to make a change and say, you know what, it's time for me to start believing the good news. Stop believing all the bad news. Start believing the good news. Y'all see how I just kind of slipped that in there? Stop believing all the bad news. Start believing the good news. Did you know there's a lot of bad news in this world? And a little bit of it's actually true. But there's something that supersedes it. It's called the good news. It's stronger. It's more powerful than bad news. In fact, it blows away the bad news. You bring the Word of God on the scene. You bring the good news on the scene. And I'm telling you, it gets rid of the bad news. Jesus proclaimed good news. He said, in Mark 16, 15, that we are to proclaim this good news to every person. See, it's for all people. And I'm telling you, this world needs to hear some good news. So much bad news, they need to hear good news. And a lot of Christians are helping to spread the bad news. I hear it all the time. And I see it on Facebook where my brothers and sisters in Christ are posting stuff. I mean, they're just burning it up. All the bad stuff. Just talking about how terrible the world is. Well, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket. Well, I don't know what that means, but I know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the bad news is. There's some good news that counteracts it. As you know, when you walk into this auditorium, and we don't have any windows, and don't have any lights on, it is totally black in here. But did you know when we flip the light switch and the lights come on, the light has no trouble overcoming the darkness? And it is the same way with the Word of God, with the good news. Where there's bad news, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. I'm telling you, what this world needs is the good news. And we, God's people, we need to be speaking, we need to be proclaiming the good news. It's our job. That's what Jesus did. He went proclaiming the good news. And that's what we're supposed to do. Don't take for granted that they know. Let me tell you something. Most people in this country, I mean, they know about Jesus. They know something about Jesus. They've heard of him. They know. But they don't know that it's real. They don't know that it works in your life. That's what they need to know. They need to know that there's something that's life-changing, something that really matters, something that will really help them and change their life. That's good news. I don't know why believers want to glorify the devil. I'm just saying some crazy stuff tonight, aren't I? Well, you just stay with me. Listen, that may sound a little strong. Sometimes we need it strong. But listen, when we talk about all the good things the Lord has done, what are we doing? We're glorifying God. I mean, when God's done something good for you and you talk about it, that brings attention to Him and that glorifies and honors Him. Listen, when you talk about all the works of the devil and all the bad things that are happening in our world, you're just exalting the devil. Don't get into that stuff. Don't buy into that attitude. Listen, we need to lift up the Lord and glorify Him. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And so, yeah, there's bad things going on in our world, but we've got an answer. We've got good news. Jesus never, ever said, go out in the world and just join in with them, talk about how bad everything is. Just join in with them being critical and judging everything and saying bad things about stuff. And how do Christians get to that place? I'm telling you, we're supposed to have a message. We ought to be so busy with the good news and talking about uplifting things, we don't have time to talk about all that negative stuff. No, we've got an answer for that stuff if we'll just take the message of good news to the world. We need to be busy telling people the good news, telling them that God cares about them, telling them He wants to help them. Well, that's good news, isn't it? John 20 and 21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. The disciples got it. Acts chapter 5, 42, it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They never stopped from house to house proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Church, that's what we need to be doing, telling people the good news all the time. You know, most Christians seem to kind of have forgotten their purpose for being here. It's like the guy that goes to the store and he's just got that glazed over look. He can't remember why he's there. And he says, I got to call my wife and see what I want. See, I know that story because I'm that guy. I've been there before. It's easier now, though, because, you know, now it's not as embarrassing. Now I just use my cell phone. You know, a few years back, I'd have to go up and say, can I use your phone? I got to call my wife and see what I want. But anyway, yeah, better now. Have we forgotten why we're here? We're here to do His work. We're here to spread His message. I'm telling you, we need to pray, not just for the Lord to meet our needs, but pray that we be reminded why we're here and that God will use us for His purpose. There was a survey done a few years back where they asked churchgoers why the church existed. And I'm gonna say this first because I don't want any amens. I don't want anybody jumping on this bandwagon. This is the wrong answer, okay? 90% of Christians, this is the wrong answer, said the church exists to meet my needs. That's the wrong answer. That's the mentality, though, of most of the church. The church is here for me. To minister to me, to help me, to minister to my family, help my family. It's here for me. Listen, we are the church. All of us in the body of Christ, we are the church. And we're not in this world just to meet our own needs. We're in this world to reach out, to be the body of Jesus in the earth today. And listen, I know that the Bible says that we are to come out from among them. The church has been called out from the world. That is to be a holy people. That is that we don't participate in ungodly things. We're called out from the world, but we're also sent to the world to minister to them. He said that we are to go. And I just want to encourage you tonight. You've got good news that people need to hear. And I'm telling you, this is a great time of year to do it. This time of year, as strange as this is, there are more people who feel lonely, who are depressed, and who have a difficult time in life during this time. People that feel so stressed out under such pressure. And I'm telling you, the field, the harvest is white. We just need to share this good news. And I believe the Lord will bring somebody across each of our paths that we can share good news with. One man once told D.L. Moody that he had lived on the Mount of Transfiguration for 5 years. That sounds pretty weird to me, but I've heard weirder, personally. I've heard weirder things than that. But D.L. Moody said to him, well, in that 5 years, how many people have you brought to Christ? And he said, well, no one. And D.L. Moody just told him flat out, he said, well, we don't need that kind of experience because we're supposed to be reaching people. And you know what? I really believe that's right. I've known people who, it was the same guy who told me he never sinned, who didn't care about ever reaching anybody. He didn't think that was really part of the plan. We didn't need to do that as long as we just kind of have our spiritual club. But I'm telling you, the Lord wants all to know. This good news is for everybody. It's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. It's for whosoever will. Churches that don't care about the lost are nothing more than a religious club for people who want to feel good religion. But I'm telling you, what really feels good, I'm talking about on the inside, is when you know that God has used you to bless somebody, to help somebody, to touch the life of another. I want to remind you of a story from 2 Kings, a story about the four lepers. There's a great famine in the city, and these four lepers, well, they're surrounded by the enemy on the outside of the city walls, but these four lepers, there's no food in the city, and so they say, well, if we just sit here, if we just stay here, we're going to die. So basically they said, let's take our chances and go to the camp of the enemy. Maybe they'll give us some food. Well, they go to the enemy's camp, but while they're on the way, God causes the enemy, Arameans, to hear the sound of a mighty army. And they all just run and leave their stuff. And so these four lepers get to the camp of the enemy, and here's all the food they could possibly imagine. Here's all these riches, all kinds of possessions the enemy's left behind. And here's what it says in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. And they said to each other, we're not doing right. This is a good day, or this is a day of good news. There, I got it. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. They had to go back and tell everybody else. And here's what I want to say to you. I'm telling you, we've got good news. We can't just keep it to ourselves. We've got to share it with other people. We need to tell them about the peace we have. We need to tell them about the joy that's not dependent on circumstances. We need to tell them about the freedom of sins forgiven. We need to tell them about contentment and fulfillment that satisfies a longing in our soul. We need to tell them about a Lord who cares about the things that we care about. We need to tell them that we have hope no matter how bad things look. We need to tell them that He takes care of our needs no matter what's happening with our economy. We need to tell them about a Lord who has blessed us and given us success. That's good news that people need to hear. We need to tell them about a marriage that God has blessed. And maybe your marriage has been through difficult times, but listen, If your marriage has been through difficult times and you're still together, you're still making it, I'm telling you, that's a testimony. There's people that need to hear that. They don't need to hear about a perfect marriage because they ain't got one. There's not one, is there? But sometimes we pretend like you know, everything's perfect. But we don't need to pretend with people. We need to be real with people. But we need to tell them that God can make the difference in your marriage. We need to tell them that there's a way that God can help you raise your kids, that they don't have to get involved in all this stuff going on in the world and get messed up their lives, that you can raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I'm telling you, that's a good message we need to tell people. People need to hear some good news. Proverbs 15:30 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Good news gives health to the bones. I'm going to wrap this up. One woman put an ad in the paper. said, lost 50 pounds, selling my fat clothes. They're in good condition, size 18 to 20. Her phone started ringing off the wall. Nobody wanted to buy her clothes. They wanted to know how she lost 50 pounds. Now here's the point. People want to know what works. They don't care about our religion. They care about what's real. And if there's something that works in your life, they want to know about that. And I'm telling you, we've got the answers. We've got some good news that we need to be sharing with people. Listen, it isn't just about how can I lose weight. I'm telling you, people want to know, how can I have peace in my life? How can I raise my kids? They're hearing 1,000 different voices from 1,000 different directions, and none of them knows what they're talking about. But the Word of God has answers. We've got good news. We need to be telling people, this is what works. I just want to encourage you. Share what you have. Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. You know, it ought to be something that we are excited about. You know, when you go on vacation and you come back and, you know, you've been to some neat place, it's easy to talk about it. You know, if you've got a team that you like, a sports team that you like, and your team is winning, we haven't gotten to experience that lately around here, but, you know, your team is winning, it's fun to talk about your team. You know, you don't have a hard time talking about your team. And I'm just telling you, we ought to be so much more excited about the Lord and the things that God has done for us. You know, I know sometimes it may seem overwhelming or we feel inadequate to do that, but I just want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit will give you the words. You see, if you're just willing, the Holy Spirit will help you do it. He is able to give you the words. The Bible says that we don't have to think about what we're going to say. He'll give us the words at the right time. So I'm telling you, He is able to give you an anointing, what you need, that you may later, you may even think, now what did I say? You don't have to worry about it. I'm telling you, the Lord will help you to share what you need to. He just needs willing vessels. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work anyway. We're just the vessel that He uses, but we got to be willing. Billy Graham once said it takes 40 people to lead someone to Christ. Now, I don't know why he said that. I don't know where he got the figure, if that was just something that he kind of, you know, came up with on his own. But he said, it takes 40 people to lead someone to Christ. And usually the first one thinks that they didn't do anything. And the last one thinks they did it all. Listen, you might not be the last one. You might be the 22nd one. But share the good news. You have a part in what God is doing. Just be willing to be used of the Lord. Good news of great joy. And tonight I want to close with this. The focus tonight has been on what that good news is and that we need to share that good news. But I want to close with this. Listen, this is good news of great joy for you personally. There's a Savior who cares for you. He knows your name. He knows your need. He knows what you're going through. He knows your situation. And He loves you. He cares for you. And He wants to bring you through to victory. That's good news for you tonight. So I want you to stand with me. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to take those needs, those burdens. I want you to take your situation to Him. Maybe somewhere along the way, you lost your joy. Listen, Jesus has an abundant supply. Maybe you lost your peace in the midst of all the busyness of life and this hustle and bustle of this season. It seems to be the most stressful time of the year. Maybe you're facing some situations in your family, in your workplace. I want you to know there's a God who loves you and cares for you. He came He proved it. How much He loves us. This is love. That Christ Jesus died for us. He came. He was born to die. That's how much He loves us. And as we pray tonight, I just encourage you. You talk to the Lord in your own way. Father, I just thank You for each and every person in this building tonight. And Lord, I know that You are moving and working, that You are real in our lives. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters that are struggling tonight. I pray, Lord, for those that are discouraged, Lord, and Lord, those that are hurting. I pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would just minister to them comfort and strength and courage, faith in Jesus' name, that they be strengthened in the inner man. Father, I thank You for that. And I pray, Father, that we as Your people will be filled with joy, great joy. Lord, and fill us tonight with this message, Lord, to share what the Lord has done for us, how good You are to us. And Lord, may You be glorified in our lives. I'm praying, Father, for a great harvest. And so, Lord, we pray that the laborers be sent forth in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need special prayer tonight, myself or Carmen, other prayer partners would be glad to pray with you. If you'll come on down as we dismiss, we'll be here to pray with you. Lord bless you.